Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The future of the Biden-Harris campaign, the focus of Democrats, with party leaders and state governors voicing concerns about President Biden's ability to win re-election after his debate performance. ABC's Selena Wang says the White House is also denying reports the president is weighing whether to continue in the race.
Multiple different leaders in the White House are strongly pushing back on that New York Times article, as is the campaign. They're saying it is patently false, and they are very much saying that the president in the coming days and today as well is going to make very clear that he is staying in the race.
The FBI and Homeland Security warning that large celebrations this 4th of July could be potential targets. An intelligence bulletin says conflicts overseas raising the threat for a lone attacker or small groups to make a statement. Hurricane Beryl churning toward Jamaica. Residents and tourists now told to hunker down due to the massive storm's winds and storm surge. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden returns to Wisconsin this week. He plans to campaign in Madison on Friday. Today, Biden meets privately with leading Democrats concerned about his debate performance last week. After some divisive rulings and recent scandals, civic engagement groups say U.S. Supreme Court justices are doing a bad job policing themselves. Sarah Harris is with the group Stand Up America.
Chief Justice Roberts and others put out a sort of suggestion list of ethics, but it's not binding. So it sort of leaves it up to other people on the court to decide if or when there is an ethical issue. And as we've seen, the ethical issues continue to happen.
Americans tell pollsters they'd like term limits for U.S. Supreme Court justices. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The Mississippi River is cresting over the next few days. In La Crosse, the crest will come in at just under 15 feet in moderate flood stage. The river is already cresting to the north and to the south. The crest will last through the weekend. Flooding has closed Pettibone Park and parts of other parks, including Riverside Park, which is set to host Riverfest this week. City officials said that Riverfest will go on as planned, with barricades put up to keep people away from the parts of the park that are flooded and to keep people away from the high water. A proposed ordinance to limit camping on city-owned property to 12 hours was voted down by the La Crosse Judiciary and Administration Committee yesterday. The vote was 3-2 against, with one committee member abstaining. Mayor Mitch Reynolds spoke in favor of the ordinance, and the agenda packet said that the measure would save the city money from having to clear out established encampments. Now the proposal will head to the city council next Thursday, where the ordinance could still be enacted. For 1490 The Eagle WLCX and LacrosseEagle.com, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Bucks and their new draft picks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks introduced their two new draft picks, A.J. Johnson and Tyler Smith, both just 19 years old. So why do the Bucks have six young, underdeveloped players on their roster right now? GM John Horst.
The balance is intentional. You know, we've got really great core depth at the top. We've got young veterans that can come in and help and contribute like they did last year, and we're going to add more to this team through free agency.
Baseball. The Brewers with a 4-3 win over the Rockies in Denver last night. Bryce Terang with a sacrifice fly to right, dropped by the Rockies' Hunter Goodman. Jeff Levering with the call, Bally Sports, Wisconsin.
Popped him up, shallow right, and the right fielder lost it. It's going to fall. Terang hustling for second base, and he is in, and this game is tied.
The Brewers came up with walks to load the bases. Reese Hoskins beamed to force the winning run.
We didn't get the big hit. We pecked away like little woodpeckers and came up with enough.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny, slightly muggy, and much warmer. As highs today climb to the mid-80s. Turning partly cloudy for tomorrow, shots of showers and thunderstorms swing through the state, especially into the evening. And rainfall totals could be high. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, currently 82 degrees.
Are you a veteran who needs assistance? Do you know a veteran who needs help? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is here for Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. We can help connect veterans with services such as medical care, financial and legal assistance, housing, mental health services, substance use treatment, and more. For more information, please visit wisvets.com. That's wisvets.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it is the 4th of July. We are off, but we do have a specially curated best of special for you tomorrow. I hope you'll join us.
Matt and Air on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matt and Air on air.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our outstanding producer and engineer. It is Wednesday, July 3rd, 2024. It is
Hump Day!
A great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you in. 6 now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour 2 of the big program. High atop State Street to block off the Capitol Square. Mostly sunny skies. A wisp of a cloud here and there. All in all, it's a pretty spectacular July day. Right now, 81 degrees here in the capital city.
A lot easier to enjoy. There's a song that I was getting ready to play until they ended up fixing RAC, but I was going to do this.
What's the use? I said, it's getting hot in here, so, so take off all your clothes.
Yes, thankfully, and a big shout out to Casper, to Luke Mathers, to our wonderful technician, our HVAC guy, who gave us a new belt on the old air conditioner.
And it's already so much better.
It's so much better already. The fan's still going in the studio here, but thank you. We appreciate all the help here getting our AC back on the air. Great team here at Civic, and we appreciate each and every one of you. Tomorrow on the show, July 4th proper, we've pre-recorded a little new content for you. Going to walk you through some hitherto unknown facts about the 4th of July. And also we're going to replay for you the broadcast, the hour from 1 to 2 a couple of weeks ago, where we had General May and his folks from the Wisconsin National Guard, as well as folks from the EAA, and talk about National Guard and EAA tomorrow. And then on Friday, the 5th, we may be kind of live, as it turns out President Biden is going to be in town. So Mr. Zommers and I may be in with Terry Bell to, we'll bring you that when President Biden is here on Friday. And where we can, when and where we can, we're going to bring you an interview we had with Tia Nelson on the Earth Day broadcast we had back in April. Of course, her dad, Gaylord Nelson, a former governor and U.S. senator, who was the founder of Earth Day. And we did that broadcast live from Governor Nelson State Park. So we'll bring you that and all kinds of great things as well on Friday.
Yeah, whether or not Biden shows up during the show, you're going to get something great.
Well, he won't be stopping by here. But,
well, you know what I mean.
Yes, I know. But Earl Ingram, I believe, is recording his interview with President Biden today. We'll find out what that's going to play. But
I believe so as we speak, yeah.
Yeah, so congrats to Earl on that big get. Just want to give people a heads up, particularly if you have small kids in the car or around you. For the next 10 minutes or so, you may want to turn down the radio, as we're going to talk about, as they say, some quote-unquote mature content. And I don't want to make light of this. This is not a joke. This is serious stuff. And we're going to do it in a tactful way as much as you can. But I also think in 2024, where the stakes are so high in terms of who wins this election, I think it's incumbent upon news sources to bring you the facts and to let you know what is being reported or not and what's out there. This comes from Nicole Manette. She says, I don't know who needs to hear this, but Donald Trump raped and sexually assaulted a 13-year-old girl from Epstein's child sex trafficking ring multiple times. Not just any 13-year-old girl, one that looked like his daughter, Ivanka, who was 13 years old the same year. Her name is Katie Johnson. Here is the complaint she filed in 2016. After being threatened with death, she dropped the case just 4 days before the 2016 election. Donald Trump is a danger, and that is why he was such good friends with a convicted pedophile. This isn't difficult to understand. Read her entire six-page complaint, and it is listed. Jeffrey Epstein, of course, the convicted child sex trafficker who was set to spend most likely the rest of his life in jail, who, quote-unquote, died by suicide. And I say quote-unquote because the circumstances surrounding his death in jail are still beyond suspicious. And just coincidentally, it coincided with when a lot of this information was set to come out on Donald Trump. I'm going to read you a couple of paragraphs from this complaint from Katie Johnson in 2016. And I hope that we all think in our own way, as I hope we're all appalled by this accusation. And it is an accusation because the charges were dropped after she withdrew her complaint after she received death threats. She wrote in her complaint, quote, on the third occasion involving the defendant, Donald J. Trump, the plaintiff, Katie Johnson, was forced to engage in an unnatural lesbian sex act with her fellow minor and sex slave, Maria Doe. That's a made-up name because they only are naming the complainant, who is age 12, for the sexual enjoyment of defendant Trump. After the sex act, both minors were forced to orally copulate defendant Trump by placing, I'm not going to read all the gory details, until he achieved sexual orgasm. After zipping up his pants, defendant Trump physically pushed both minors away while angrily berating them for, quote-unquote, the poor quality of their sexual performance. On the fourth and final sexual encounter of the defendant Donald J. Trump, the plaintiff, Katie Johnson, was tied to a bed by defendant Trump, who then proceeded to forcibly rape plaintiff Johnson. During the course of his savage sexual attack, plaintiff Johnson loudly pleaded with defendant Trump to, quote, please wear a condom, unquote. Defendant Trump responded by violently striking plaintiff Johnson in the face with his open hand and screaming that, quote, he would do whatever he wanted, unquote, as he refused to wear protection. After achieving sexual orgasm, the defendant, Donald J. Trump, put his suit back on, and when the plaintiff, Katie Johnson, in tears, asked defendant Trump what would happen if he impregnated her, defendant Trump grabbed his wallet and threw some money at her and screamed that she would use the money to, quote, get an effing abortion, unquote. And I cleaned it up for radio. That's hard stuff to read. And I don't do it to be salacious, and we're not gonna keep reading this, and it's because it's too hard. But I think of these poor young girls who had to endure that, and their parents. And to think that this complaint was pulled after receiving numerous death threats. I read it because it's important for context. When you hear people say, geez, Joe Biden fumbled his words on Thursday night. He looked old. His gait isn't as robust when he walks. It's all true. You can't unsee what we saw. But there are no accusations on Joe Biden, like I just read to you, in legal documents that were forced to be pulled after receiving death threats. There's been no evidence uncovered of numerous calls. This is in the court case as well. Numerous, because back then, secretaries at Trump Tower were taking paper phone notes, writing it down. There are multiple calls from Jeffrey Epstein with his number on it that was proven to be his number, reaching out to Donald Trump on numerous occasions, encoded messages to ask Trump to come meet new girls. I think it's important context to think of this when we're in the voting booth and ask ourselves, whomever the Democratic nominee is, and I think it will be Joe Biden, what's worse? And I don't mean that in a funny way. I know we use that as a bit on what's worse. But what's worse? Again, Joe Biden, who certainly is not young anymore, but is a decent, compassionate, honest, hardworking, thoughtful individual. Or what I just read you. I hope you'll agree. When you consider the two choices, there is no choice. And then you take someone with that allegedly type of behavior and you compare it with his manifest that is Project 2025 and says he'll be a dictator on day one and remove civil service employees in favor of people who don't pledge allegiance to a party or an ideal but a man in Trump. Who has been given all indications he will sign a national abortion ban, who will replace the Constitution with the Bible, who will go from a democratic republic to a theocracy, and will be the retribution on people who don't agree with him. Quite frankly, I'm really not looking forward to going to the Republican National Convention. Because I can't cover this like any other national convention. Because the candidate is unlike any national candidate on either side of the aisle. A 34-time convicted felon. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, folks. But we're going. We will report what's being said. Not necessarily in real time, but we'll report it and we'll fact check it and we'll tell you the facts. And by the way, we'll do the same thing at the Democratic Convention in Chicago later in August. It's not always fun, folks, but pursuing the truth wherever it may lead is why we get up every day and why we're here. Back with your phone calls after this. 855-752-4842 is the All Ball Show in Civic Media.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy like One, two, three.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-721-3955. 800-721-3955. 800-721-3955.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Some days are more fun than others. We'll put it that way. that's what it is. Somebody says, when did the reported sex behavior allegedly take place? When and where did this reporting come out? And again, I'm reading from Nicole Manette on Twitter, who posted it. But this comes through, and let me make it bigger here for my bad eyes. This is from the official police report from 29 Palms in California. This is from the United States District Court, Central District of California. It's Katie Johnson versus Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein. From the official complaint filed, let me see if I can read it, April 26th of 2016. The official filing of the report. You can find it online. It's just now starting to come out as more of these Epstein files are being released. And you're not hearing it on a lot of news sources because of the mature content, to use a broadcast phrase, of what I just gave you. And again, after receiving numerous death threats, the individual decided to pull their complaint. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to, we're getting it all set up here. I didn't realize, sorry, Mr. Zombers, I thought the individual was on hold. But Gary listening in Central Wisconsin. Gary, you're on the road today for the 4th or for work?
Or a different Gary.
Oh, a different Gary. Sorry about that, Gary. Gary in Central Wisconsin, thanks for listening. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just feel compelled to finally call on account of here you are taking something that's been posted on Twitter, printing it over your airwaves as though it's just something completely legitimate.
It's from a police report. It's not. It was posted on Twitter, but I'm reading from the official police report of 2016, the complaint filed in the...
And something that's never even reached any level of actually being proven as being true.
It was filed, and it was pulled after the individual who filed it received numerous death threats 4 days before the election.
At a police department, it doesn't mean that what they're filing is even factual.
Okay, sure.
It still needs to go through some level of legal process to start determining whether it's got any actual fact behind it.
But don't you think when someone's running for president of the United States that something that serious needs to at least be public knowledge before people go to the polls? I mean, if Joe Biden had those kind of... If Biden had that kind of accusation, it should be known as well. He doesn't.
You don't have no actual proof that there's any truth to it.
We have proof in court. Go ahead.
What I will tell you is I won't be voting for Donald Trump. I didn't vote for him 4 years ago or 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Trump person, actually. Mm-hmm. But I will also tell you that Joe Biden is not close to being fit for being president. He proved that last Thursday. Now it sounds like you need to up your attack against him, because we've seen with no doubt now the fact that the man can't even stand up and speak intelligibly for
that's not true. That's not true. He had a bad night, but on Friday in North Carolina, he had a great speech. He's going to be here in Madison. We're going to cover
it. What was he doing then? He was standing there with information provided to him on a teleprompter.
Sure. Just like Trump does, every public speech that he does. So I appreciate the call.
He can let it wing. At least he proves that he can let it wing.
Look, Joe Biden has done the same. Joe Biden has done the same thing.
That's in your slant.
No, it's not in my slant. We've seen him. We've covered what he's been in Wisconsin here the last 4 months. When he's talking both from a teleprompter and impromptu. So it's just a matter of putting information out there. And what we do know about Donald Trump is he was found liable of sexual assault. And in legal terms, we know that that is also considered rape from a legal standpoint. So we know that Donald Trump is a convicted, found liable of sexual assault.
And while that has not happened in this case, the death threats seem to lend it some credibility.
It's the same action that he was, or worse perhaps, that he is found liable for. And again, what shouldn't we be thinking in terms of who this is? This is not an everyday job. Not that these types of allegations are ever good, but we're talking about the president of the United States. Someone who is supposed to be morally leading our country, in character, in words, in action, who's supposed to be setting an example for the rest of us, in particular our kids. We should want to elect someone who lives up to those ideals. And I'm not saying it's only Republicans. Bill Clinton did not live up to them either. Admitted to having oral sex with Monica Lewinsky in the Oval Office. Remember the blue dress? I've called that out. Presidents should live up to a certain level of morality and character because that's what they're supposed to be in the United States of America. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Off the line from WAUK, the text, sadly, Ms. Daniels' family and herself are being threatened regularly. All right, there you go. Let's make it also, Andrew in Verona on WMDX says, let's make a deal. If you find a police report against Biden with the same types of acts, Todd will read that live on air. Yes, I will. Andrew in Maine, WAUK, says, is there any evidence that individual who filed the police report was charged with filing a false report? No. And that's a great point, Andrew. That with all the Trump attorneys, if they thought that they would have a case, that's a great point, Andrew in Maine. Trump, to my knowledge, has never filed any charges that it was a false report. The police have never filed any charges that it was a false report. Because that's a great point, Andrew, because that is against the law, filing a false police report. I mean, normally we wouldn't get into this kind of stuff. Normally we'd be talking about tax policy, you know, environmental policy, and we do that stuff. But this election in 2024 is the difference between autocracy and losing the country that we have celebrated for now going on 248 years and maintaining it. In all of its imperfection, I might add. Never said we're perfect as a country or myself. We're striving to get there. Joe Biden will maintain that tradition. Donald Trump will turn it into an autocratic dictatorship. Back with more after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show for July 3rd on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An important subsidy for Wisconsin child care centers is due to run out at the end of September. Governor Evers says lawmakers need to do something to save child care accounts.
It's important for our economy. If we lose that money, there will be places that close, and if people lose their child care, then they'll likely leave the workforce. So it's pretty simple.
Evers speaking at a child care center in Red Granite yesterday. Schools in Wisconsin will get more than $400,000 for manufacturing training. Students will be trained in 3D printing, welding, drone operating, and other skills. The Department of Workforce Development says more than 4,600 students in 17 school districts will benefit. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Two area school districts are receiving grants to help with CTE programming. The Wisconsin Fast Forward program awarded $400,000 to schools around the state, with La Crosse and Holman each receiving a part of the grant money. La Crosse is receiving over $17,000 to use for its robotics lab and engineering science kits and increase college credit opportunities. Holman will get just under $11,000 to buy 6 3D printers and 2 drones to help increase its dual credit course offerings. La Crosse officials mailed out the 2023 water quality survey, and for city residents, it's good news. Water testing showed that there aren't any contaminants above recommended levels for drinking water at any well in the city. PFAS testing came in far below the DNR's threshold, as well as other materials like aluminum and lead. La Crosse officials said that the city never used lead in its original installation of water lines, so contamination is very low. You can see the full report on the city's water utility website. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There's a new Blade Runner in the works at Amazon Prime called Blade Runner 2099. Michelle Yeoh and Hunter Schafer are the series leads and will be joined by Matthew Needham, Johnny Harris, and Caitlin Rose Downey. Plot lines and details about each character are being kept on the down low for the time being. Ridley Scott and David Zucker are executive producing the show, which takes place after both previous Blade Runners. There is no release date yet, but the show is currently shooting in Prague. Actor Jamie Foxx says he saw the tunnel but did not see the light. Fox was referring to the 3 weeks when he was in a coma a year ago. Fox was hospitalized for what remains an undisclosed medical condition and told people on the streets in Phoenix about his ordeal while recording it for social media. I'm just guessing that not seeing the light when about to die would be enough to scare you back to consciousness. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny, slightly muggy, and much warmer. As highs today climb to the mid-80s. Turning partly cloudy for tomorrow, shots of showers and thunderstorms swing through the state, especially into the evening. And rainfall totals could be high. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 84 degrees at our studios.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM WLCX, and on the Civic Media app.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cuska for a talk about the show The Boys. And the Artistic Director of Door County's Peninsula Players, Linda Fortunato, talks about their new season.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
¶¶
Welcome back to the Tom Lemos Show, the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Mr. Zomers?
Thunderstruck by AC/DC.
Thunderstruck. See, I was never an AC/DC fan. That's why I don't get it.
I know. That's why for a second I was like, should I play this or not? Because no, I know Todd's not an AC/DC fan.
But that's fine. I'm sure a lot of people are. We're going to turn a page here and do an article, a story we should have done a couple of weeks ago. It turns out that lightning did not strike, at least for us on this show. A couple of weeks ago, week of June 23rd, it was National Lightning Safety Awareness Week. Did you know such a thing existed, Mr. Summers?
I did not, but I'm not surprised. There's a lot of random weeks and random holidays.
Right, and this is important because I think we've had a lot of storms lately. And we'll have many more, I'm sure, as the summer progresses. So let it be said that you and I are doing our part, Mr. Zomers, for the cause, for National Lightning Safety Awareness Week a couple of weeks ago. Everyone knows that the odds of dying from being struck by lightning are at least 1 in 1,000,000. But, as Johnny Carson once said, did you know that the odds are more like 1 in 1.75 million. Better than you might have thought. The problem is that lightning strikes somewhere in the United States 37 million times a year. And that's why lightning strikes kill 21 people a year in the United States on average. This information is from, and I'm not making this up, the National Lightning Safety Council.
Well, yeah, the NLSC, obviously.
Oh, yeah, obviously. 3/4 of lightning fatalities happen in June, July, and August. So we're right in the middle of the big lightning strike time. When lightning is happening, the riskiest place to be, you want to take a guess, Mr. Zomers?
On a lake.
That's really good. That's very good. I would have said under a tree. But no, you're right. The riskiest place to be in lightning is near water.
Yeah, because I know in Boy Scouts and fishing with my dad or anything like that, anytime it's raining and there's thunderous weather forecast, it's like, okay, out of the water, nowhere near there.
Right. So get off the beach and especially, as Mr. Zomer says, get out of the water. There are two safe places to be during a thunderstorm: a substantial building or a vehicle with a metal roof. A substantial building does not include a dugout, picnic shelter, or gazebo. So don't think you're going to run into one of those places and everything's hunky-dory. I suppose better than nothing, maybe, perhaps, but not ideal. What protects you in a vehicle is not the rubber tires. That's a myth. Another thing I didn't know. Golf carts and convertibles will not keep you safe because they don't provide a metal roof for the lightning to travel through instead of through you. So it's the metal roof that the lightning hits and then gets disseminated, not the rubber tires.
Right. And on a similar line, if you're in your car and there's like a downed power line or something, stay in your car. Don't get out until somebody takes care of it.
Yeah, exactly. Very, very true. In case you've forgotten, stay away from trees because lightning often strikes the highest thing around, of course, being a tree. And do not crouch in place. Another old wives' tale. Instead, head for a vehicle or a building, even if it's a ways off. Another myth is that a lightning victim retains an electric charge. About 90% of lightning victims survive if someone calls 911 and renders first aid ASAP. Now, I didn't know that either because I've heard people, well, if somebody gets hit by lightning, stay away from them or you could get hurt too. No, not true. They don't turn into some superhero because they got, or you know, they're not radioactive because they got hit by lightning.
I did know that once again from the first aid merit badge.
Really? See here, this is why we have an Eagle Scout on staff. We have a couple of them.
I do know some things.
Now, it's you, Lukester, Luke Mathers. Is Sam Davidson also an Eagle Scout?
Yes.
So three Eagle Scouts here at Civic Media in Madison. Off the text line, Angie in the beautiful city of Monroe says, I was always told not to take a shower during a lightning storm. Is that true?
Yes. The CDC says do not shower, bathe, wash dishes, or wash your hands. The risk of lightning traveling through plumbing may be less with plastic pipes, but it's still best to avoid contact with plumbing and running water.
Wow. Now, see, I guess I could have heard that, but I didn't know it was true. Thank you, Mr. Zomers, for being on top of that. Let's see what else here. National Lightning Awareness Week here, which a couple of weeks ago. As for the question, will lightning strike twice? Well, as my former algebra teacher, Art Hitt, used to say, always possible. Always possible. Bottom line, when lightning roars, go indoors. You ever heard that one before? When lightning roars, go indoors.
I have not, but that's a good one.
Yeah, that is a very good one. Our ongoing contributor and Mr. Jeff Perry, our friend, says, I've been using my storm gazebo for years, and I ain't stopping. Well, don't do that, Jeffrey. Don't use your storm gazebo. It ain't going to help you. There's no metal roof on it, as it turns out. So National Lightning Safety Awareness Week, a couple of weeks ago, asking the question, have you ever been struck by lightning, or do you know somebody that has? Have you had lightning strike really close to you and felt the effects? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Make it easy. 855-75-CIVIC.
I do actually have something with that.
Really?
Boy Scouts, again. 1 year at summer camp, in the middle of the night, there was a huge storm. And mm-hmm. we all had to go and sit in the tornado shelter, which was the shower house. Ooh. Just a cement shower house sitting in there for hours in the middle of the night. And lightning struck very close.
Ooh.
And it hit an enormous tree. And there was a moss in the area that glowed in the dark. And so the tree exploded, like a type of moss that glows in the dark.
I thought I heard you say a moss that glows in the dark.
It was
for real.
Or maybe it was a fungus. Right. I don't know, whatever it was.
Go ahead.
It apparently was all over this tree. So when lightning struck it and it kind of exploded, there were huge chunks, like a little 10-foot shred of the tree that was just glowing.
So it like ignited the moss or electrified
the
moss?
It was already glow in the dark. It just turns out it was all over the tree so that when it fell apart, they were selling pieces of lightning bark, they called it.
Get out. I've never heard of glow-in-the-dark moss. So
I didn't believe it until I saw it.
You saw it with your own two
eyes? I was like, this is nonsense. There's no way. But no, it was real.
That's fantastic.
And one other thing. This story reminded me of a movie clip, and our own Chris Casper sent it to me, so I didn't even have to look it up.
All right,
from the movie The Great Outdoors.
Yes.
He's been struck by lightning. How many times is it now, Reg?
Six times.
66 times. That's a lot of times. That's a lot of times. All right, that's good enough. That's a lot of times. All right, it's enough. And I got it. Anyway, also off the text line, WMDX plumber in Madison says, pretty sure Pete Schwabba, that's not a nice text to read. All right, we're not going to read that particular one either. But anyway, have you ever been hit? Quite frankly, right now, I wish I had been hit by lightning. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Troy from Mount Horeb, what do you got for us, my friend? Happy 4th.
Happy 4th to you as well, and happy day after my birthday to Pat Kreitlow.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Happy birthday to you, Troy. Well, your birthday's the 2nd?
Yes.
Okay. Well, happy belated birthday. Hope you celebrated well.
We did. We had a great dinner. So in late 70s, early 80s, I was up by Kuzo Lake, up by Wild Rose.
Mm-hmm.
We had a, there we go, now I'm done. We had a permanent campsite up there, and my buddy and I rented a canoe and went swimming. And then it started raining, and we didn't think anything of it. All of a sudden, I dove under the water, and the water all turned white.
Good gosh.
And it felt like I was being pulled apart. It didn't really hurt, but my extremities went out. And we both got out and looked at each other, and we're like, I think the lake got hit.
Wow.
So I didn't actually see it happen because I was under the water, but I can't imagine what else it would have been.
That is crazy. So you were swimming underwater and the whole water went white.
Yep.
And probably somewhere on the top of the lake, lightning struck and you were deep enough where you didn't get electrocuted, obviously, thank God. But I mean that you proved the point.
It was weird.
Yeah. you proved the point that people should not be in the water during a lightning storm.
Right. Yes, exactly. Get out of the water.
Yeah. Well,
there were other people in the water. There were other people in the water, and it was like Jaws.
Really?
Yelling and screaming and running, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I mean, there weren't a lot of people because it was a Monday and it was raining, but there were like 10, 15 people.
I'm glad that you're here to tell a story, obviously, and celebrated another birthday yesterday. So, wow! But that had to just be weird, but scary all at the same time. Oh my gosh!
Well, we're like,
go ahead.
15. Like 14, 15.
Well,
then we wanted to leave the canoe there, but the guy said we got to go get the canoe. We were like, we don't want to go back in that water.
Right? Exactly. Thanks, Troy. Really appreciate it. Happy birthday. Have a great 4th, 855-752-4842. Dale in Kenosha. Dale, what do you got for us?
Yes. With the storm, I heard that you shouldn't be on a telephone during a lightning storm.
I've heard that, too, and I think that's probably better safe than sorry not to be.
I did just look it up, and it does not attract lightning
being
on a cell phone. Basically, if you have a cell phone on you and you're struck by lightning, it'll just melt like anything else like that. But according to AccuWeather and the National Weather Service.
Well, there you go, Dale.
Which is obviously more.
I see. Yeah. And I do have a story about being on the water.
You got 1 minute. Go ahead.
Okay, I was on the lake in a wooden rowboat. And I looked along the shore, and I mean, there was just lightning bolts coming down all over along the shore. So I thought it was just safer to stay out in the water, and that's what I did. I didn't go back until like the lightning settled down because everywhere I looked by the shore, there was lightning bolts coming down.
Wow! Wow! Now that's just some crazy stuff. I mean, that's why as we say.
With my little cut.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was with my little cousin. He's like, we're going to die. We're going to die.
Oh, jeez. No, it's scary. Yeah. When you're out in a lightning storm like that, it's nothing to fool around with. And that's part of why we're bringing this up, to make people aware. You know, get off the water. Don't be there. But it's scary, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Dale. Really appreciate it. Dale down in Kenosha. Let's go quickly to Kurt. Kurt in Madison, you got a minute. If you can get it in, Kurt, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll be really quick. One of the primary reasons dogs eventually become scared of thunderstorms is that they're highly sensitive to all the electrons. So when lightning strikes, you can find this online. The lightning doesn't go directly to the ground. It merges at some point between the ground and where it's coming down.
Mm-hmm.
And dogs are very sensitive. They can feel all that static energy. So when they feel, they tie that feeling between that and the boom. So the boom, they learn that the boom means, okay, they get the sensation of static building up on their bodies. That's why it's best to get like a grounding blanket. You can buy them online.
Really?
Put it on your bed and get the dog on the bed. Yeah, dogs are hypersensitive to, we can't perceive it. They can't.
That is great news we could use. Thank you, Kurt. That is a great call. Thank you so very much. Come on back with a 4th of July board game of the week from Zomers. We'll wrap things up. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. A little AC/DC to take us out.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls.
Hi, who's this?
It's Tori.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to be here this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome. Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kewaunee.
Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Again, we're talking about Julian Assange, villain or hero. Karen from Madison, you're on the air. What do you think?
I studied that Edward Snowden. You know, maybe I don't know as much about Julian, but I'm trying to learn more. And I just want to thank everybody for helping me learn.
Thank you for being open to learning more about issues and delving into them here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is what it's all about.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome back to the Almost Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. That's 10 minutes away from the award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Every afternoon between 2 and 4, Maggie Dawn, Brian Kennedy, and a cast of Brian Kennedy. And I was going to say a cast of thousands. I was thinking of my old colleague, my former colleague and friend, Brian Kennedy, up there in Richland Center, longtime newsman at WRCO in Richland Center, AM 1450 and FM 100.9. He posted, he and his family went on a little trip recently, and I was just thinking of him, and sometimes that just happens, right? Things pop into your mind. And so, but happy 4th, Brian. Great guy, great mentor as well. But no, it's Brian Kelly and Maggie Dawn coming up after
different
this.
Brian. Yes.
Different Brian.
Fancy Brian.
You know, fancy Brian equally as a talent and a wonderful, yeah, absolutely. But stay tuned. The Maggie Dawn Show is next. Again, tomorrow we have a special show for you for the 4th of July. Have some some patriotic music for you, a little Stars and Stripes, John Philip Sousa, and of course that great interview we had with Admiral Jeff. It's really time to end the week on a Wednesday. General, Brigadier General David May will be our guest tomorrow, the interim adjutant general of the Wisconsin National Guard, and one of his lieutenant colonels, and also a gentleman from the EAA. Looking forward to that. And on Friday, we'll have a best of, and then Monday we'll be back live with you, all of its entirety, on the road with Trigvi Olson all next week on our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour. And of course, on Friday, we'll also bring you live coverage of President Joe Biden's visit right here to the capital city of Madison, Wisconsin. 8 before the hour of 2 o'clock, time once again for Board Game of the Week.
Welcome back to another edition of Board Game of the Week, 4th of July edition. So today, I'm sharing a board game that I have shared on the show previously, but it's very relevant because it is about fireworks.
Fantastic. This is exactly what we need to end our broadcast week here, a 4th of July, right before the eve of the 4th. What do you got for us, Mr. Summers?
The game is Hanabi. H-A-N-A-B-I, which is the Japanese word for fireworks.
Oh, I didn't remember that. All right, Hanabi.
It is 2 to 5 players, and basically, you're trying to put the best fireworks show together. You get a hand of cards, numbered and in colors. So let's say you want to get green 1 through 5, red 1 through 5, and so on. But the problem is, you can't look at your cards. You hold them face out. Only the other players can see which cards you have.
Ah.
And so you're trying to work together to create a fireworks display while giving each other hints, but you can't just outright say what they have. Mm. And if you make 3 mistakes, the fireworks all explode.
Jeez. So, you don't want that.
No, you don't. As we talked about yesterday, you don't want
you
that.
You don't want that at all.
So it's pretty easy to play. It's a great family game, and it's really cheap. It goes on sale all the time, and even not on sale, it's only like $8.
Oh, really? So it's cards or tiles or?
Cards.
Cards. All right. Very good. There's different graphics or whatever?
Yeah, it's all firework themed.
Oh, nice. Fantastic. So you could play as your, maybe a lot of folks, some places are going to have their fireworks tonight. Forecast is pretty good in most places of the state. Tomorrow, it may be a little hit and miss, although it sounds like from Brittany Merlot and our weather team that most of the rain in most of the state, don't tell me all, but most of it will come after midnight. So hopefully most of the fireworks will get in. But if people are waiting to play fireworks, they could play
Hanabi.
Hanabi, right?
Yeah.
All right, great.
So that is the board game of the week.
Hanabi, your board game of the week. I did not know. See, I learned a word in a new language today. Hanabi for Japanese for fireworks. Sherry in Horicon, always appreciate her listening in. VAWAUK says, sounds like a fun board game, Aaron. I think it does sound like a very fun board game. Heading down to the old Green County later on tonight. And a big shout out to the two godsons, my favorite eldest godson, Alex, and my favorite youngest godson, Jason. They are both in town, along with Alex's lovely and talented partner, Keegan. And she is just a joy and a treasure in and of herself. And Kurt and Florcy and Buddy the dog. And we're going to sit and have a beverage. And I get to see my two godsons while they're back in Wisconsin for the holiday. And probably won't get to see them again together until the big Green County Cheese Days Festival in Monroe coming up in September, of which we'll be broadcasting live from. I cannot wait. But I'm looking forward to seeing the godsons tonight, Mr. Somers. Any big plans for you?
Some of my friends are throwing a 4th of July party. Their parents' house has a pool, so I'm going to be swimming in the pool, eating some hot dogs. Probably not at the same time.
Probably not. No, don't take the hot dog in the pool. Chlorine and hot dogs don't go well together.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
As it turns out. Let's go to Carmella in Milwaukee. Carmella, you have a quick question for us. Go ahead.
One question. I just wanted to thank you, Todd, last week. You brought up about being part of a coalition with everybody, including Republicans, former Republicans, Democrats, independents. And that has given me so much hope in this past week, and especially with what's been going on in the last few days. So I just wanted to say thank you and keep it up. You give me hope.
You give me hope, Carmella. I'm serious. That is a perfect call to end the show and to end our most part, our live broadcast week. Yes, thank you, Carmella. We talked about this last week. Look, it's a couple of days ago. It's been one of those weeks. But been tough news days here last week or so for a lot of folks. But that's okay, because life isn't always easy. And she's right. I truly do believe that we are all in building a coalition to defeat Trumpism. And it doesn't mean we all have to agree on every single thing. It doesn't mean that we have to be in the same political party or even same political ideology. We can be different. That's fine. In fact, our founders 248 years ago were very different. But just like they did 248 years ago, to come together to do one thing, to defeat the king and England and declare independence. And now we are called upon as Americans to come together, set aside our differences, to defeat Trumpism and Donald Trump. If we can do that, if we can look across the street or look across the aisle, look across the church pew and find the commonality and the good in our friends and neighbors, we will be better for it, and we will defeat Trump, and we will defeat Trumpism, and then we can go back to having our petty little differences. That's what America's about, being able to have the freedom to have petty differences with each other. But first of all, we got to save democracy, and we're going to do it, folks. We're going to do it. On behalf of Mr. Zomers, we thank him for his great work. We thank all of you for listening. Stay tuned for our special shows coming up tomorrow and Friday. We'll be back live Friday, at least to cover President Biden. Until Monday, when we're live with you again, don't give up. Keep banging your drum.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Pat Kreitlow.
We're back next Monday with fresh shows. In the meantime, have a happy and safe Independence Weekend, and remember the true blessings of our liberty.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Republican legislators continue to sit on $125 million that should be used right now to clean PFAS out of contaminated drinking water and groundwater across Wisconsin because they don't like the governor's line item vetoes, to which the proper legal response is, too bad, you don't have the votes. Stop being crybabies about it.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.